We can be seated. Thank you, Jeff, and our team. Didn't the kids do good today in leading us? Boy, praise God. You know that song that we sang, very familiar hymn, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. If you'll notice at the credits, the name Reginald Herbert. Reginald Herbert. You know when he penned the words to that song? 1826, almost 190 years ago. And he wrote that song the year that he died. His wife, after his death, found that scribbled out on a piece of paper and gave it to Mr. Dykes, who composed that song. Reginald Herbert died at 43 years old. He was a young man, but he wrote that song, and we have that today. Isn't that awesome? Turn with me this morning in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, would you please? Ephesians 4. What a blessing it is for our children, our grandchildren, to grow up knowing God, right? How many of us wish we would have knew God and a relationship with Him when we were young? And to know that God can use them right now in their gifts and talents. Praise God for that. Well, we've been going through, if you're new here, we've been going through a series on the book of Ephesians. We started the series in January 2015. We've arrived at chapter 4. And so we're clipping right along here. But this book is packed with so many tremendous truths and revelation of God. So we're going to pick it up here where we're at in verse 15 of Ephesians 4 this morning. We know that the book of Ephesians and the first three chapters have revealed to us all that we already have in Christ, our identity and who we are in Christ. Chapter 4 says we're to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we've been called. God has given us teachers and mentors to disciple us and train us in that calling. God wants us to mature. That's what all chapter 4 is talking about. He wants us to grow up and mature so that we can understand His way and not be distracted by the different ideologies and worldviews and philosophies that are bombarding us. We're not tossed to and fro like children and carried about by every wind of doctrine. And then in verse 15 it says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now, we've already talked about some of these passages here, or some of these words. Pastor Samuel took us through a powerful message last week on speaking the truth, knowing the truth, and speaking the truth in love. We've talked about how each part of the body works together, just like the human body does, okay? So as you look around the room here, we are a bunch of body parts. Yeah, that's what we are. We're a bunch of body parts in the body of Christ. And each one of us has a place to serve. I know that's kind of gross being body parts, but that's what we are. And each one of us, when we're all working properly, when we're all finding our place of ministry, the gifts and the talents that God has given us, and we're serving in the church builds itself up in love. And so we've talked about all that. But the area that we're going to go into today before we move on is this area of being in Christ. It says that Christ, through Christ, flows the whole life of the body. Christ is our life. In Christ is a theme in the book of Ephesians. It's mentioned many times, something like almost 20 times in the book of Ephesians alone, not counting the rest of the New Testament. In Christ, all that we are, all that we have, all that we ever be, will ever be, all that we will ever accomplish is in Christ our Lord. He is the source of our life. He is the head of the church, and we can't lose sight of that. And the reason why this was so important, I believe, for God to put this in the book of Ephesians is because, remember, last year we studied Revelation chapter 2. And this Ephesians church that was growing so rapidly, was so healthy in this city, eventually fell into problems. You know what the problem was? They lost their first love. They lost their first love and they became religious, and they became dead, they became distracted. And eventually they folded. And that's what God told him in Revelation. You've lost your first love. Have you lost your first love for the Lord? You know, as we say many times, Jesus did not come to bring another religion. He came to bring relationship. Relationship. And our life as a Christian, what causes us to get up in the morning looking forward to every day, is being in Christ. He is the focal point of our life. Everything is in Him. The reason that we come to church is to worship Him, to worship Almighty God and what He's accomplished in the Godhead. We've talked about the Godhead this morning. We sang about the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Everything that we are, it comes from the Godhead. God has chosen Jesus, the Son of God, to come and to open the door for us to eternal reconciliation with Him. It's a relationship that we have with Him. That's the source of our life. We read the Bible. Why do we read the Bible? To know the Bible? No, we read the Bible to know Him. Jesus told the Pharisees, He said, "You search the Scriptures daily because you think in them you have eternal life. But it's they that bear witness to me, yet you won't come to me that you might have life." Those are Jesus' words. So if you read the Bible just to get through the Bible or just because they have your daily devotion time, that's just a religious act and it will soon dry up on you. We read the Bible to know Him. God reveals His character on every page of the Scriptures. To know Him, to grow in our relationship with Him, to understand Him. I'm going through the Old Testament right now. I just finished Deuteronomy this morning. Wow. Some people think the Old Testament talks about God being a God of judgment and the New Testament God being God of grace. Let me tell you something. The whole Bible is about God's grace. You look at the rebelliousness of the people. You look at the things that the nations did, the detestable things they did before God, burning their own children in the fire, things like that, that God had to judge them for. But God's long-suffering, His patience, His love is seen in every page of the Old Testament. He's a God of love, right? He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you have in Ephesians this focal point of in Christ. The entire work of God was accomplished in Christ. It starts off Ephesians 1:4. We are chosen in Christ. We talked about that. We are chosen out of this world. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you." So we've been chosen and appointed by God. We're redeemed in Christ. Praise God. We're redeemed from slavery. Slavery to ourselves. Slavery from Satan. We are united in Christ. God has brought unity of faith as we keep our eyes on Him. We've been given an inheritance in Christ. How many ever think of their inheritance we have in heaven? Not too many people. We have an inheritance in heaven. We didn't earn it, and we can't detract from it. It says in 1 Peter, we have an inheritance that is undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven by the power of God on our behalf. Every one of us has an inheritance. This is not like a 401k. When the stock market goes down, you lose money. We're not going to lose our inheritance, sir. How many are glad it's not tied in to the stock market? Okay? Yeah. It's there. And when God says we have an inheritance, it's greater than anything we can even begin to comprehend here on earth. And the benefits, I can guarantee you, are out of this world. Right? Out of this world. Kept in heaven for us. Kept in heaven for us. We have a living hope in Christ. So many people are losing hope today. Discouraged, angry, frustrated. We have a living hope, but that living hope is in Christ. Not in the church. Not in some religious leader. Not in some denomination. The living hope we have is in the person of Jesus Christ. We are Christ followers. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples." That means followers of Christ. What He said, what He taught. I was asked recently by a young person, "How do we know that the Bible is the Word of God?" One of the elementary kids. "How do we know the Bible is the Word of God?" Well, if someone asked you, "How do you know the Bible is the Word of God? Why not the Quran? Why not some other great books, Book of Mormon or other books in the world? How do we know that we know that we know that the Bible is the Word of God?" You know how we know? Because Jesus said it was. Matthew 5:17. "Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one stroke of the pen, not one dot will pass away till all is accomplished in the law and the prophets." Jesus said in that moment, everything in the Old Testament is exactly the Word of God, exactly how it happened. Yes, God created everything out of nothing. Yes, Noah built the boat. Yes, there was a great flood, covered all the earth. Every living thing died. Yes, that did happen. Yes, Jonah was swallowed by a big fish. One little student was asked by a teacher, a non-Christian atheistic teacher, she was teaching about fish, and the little student said, Teacher, I know that a whale swallowed Jonah. Now, we know it was a big fish, wasn't a whale. But the student said, I know that a whale swallowed Jonah. And the teacher said, no, a whale didn't swallow Jonah. Whales don't eat people. And the little girl said, well, I know because the Bible said Jonah was swallowed by a whale. And the teacher says, no, he wasn't. And the little girl says, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him. And the teacher says, well, what if Jonah's not in heaven? And the little girl says, well, then you ask him. Anyway, out of the mouth of babes, you know. We have a living hope in God. We are made alive in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says we are dead as doornails, dead as fence posts, dead in our trespasses, unable to respond to God. And yet God, in all of His mercy and by His grace, made us alive in Christ. Made us alive in Christ. He is our life. And we're created for good works in Christ Jesus, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we're saved by grace. We're created with a purpose. We are valuable. Every person is valuable, made in the image and likeness of God. And there's a job that God's given us to do. We are growing and we are maturing and working together as Christ lives His glorious life through us. And that is so important to understand. Religion is what I can do for God. Christianity is what God wants to do through me. And that is totally different. Two different areas. The life we have as Christians is the life of Christ within us that He wants to live through our lives. I want to go to a couple other passages this morning that amplify what Ephesians is talking about here. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Just go to the right a little bit in your Bibles, Colossians chapter 1. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote to this little church of Colossae, and he was talking to them about who Jesus is. This verse speaks for itself, so I don't have to comment on it too much, although I will a little bit. Verse 15, talking about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. The invisible God. See, you can't see God. When Jesus came, He is the image, the exact representation of Almighty God. It says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. You can probably quote it with me. And the Word was made flesh. The Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then it says in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And then it goes on to say that Jesus, the only Son who has seen God, made God known. So Jesus came to make God known. He is the exact image of the invisible God. Why is that important? Because every person in the world is made to worship something. Ecclesiastes says God has put eternity in the hearts of man. So we all trust something. You're either going to trust people or you're going to trust stuff. In other religions, they bow to idols. In Egypt, they worship the Nile crocodile. You know, you can worship the sun, the stars, the moon. Everybody wants to trust something. Trust your astrology. You know what? Look in the paper and see what's going to happen because we trust the stars. Everybody is made to worship. You know, when I was young, you know what we used to trust? A rabbit's foot. How many remember carrying a rabbit's foot? Oh, look at the hands. You're all older here. We would hang a dead rabbit's foot from our belt for good luck, right? For good luck. It's supposed to bring us good luck. It didn't do much for that dead rabbit, I guarantee you that. Okay? But that's what we would trust for our good luck. Everybody wants to trust something. Why was it so important? Because Jesus came full of grace and truth to tell us the truth about God. Praise God for that. Okay? He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. That doesn't mean He took Adam's place. Adam was the first man. He was the first woman. But if you go on down a little farther, it says He was the firstborn from the dead. When it talks about this, it says Jesus began the work of salvation. He was the first human that paid the price for our sin, rose from the dead. Therefore, those who belong to God will one day rise from the dead and be with Him for all eternity. He was the firstborn. He was the beginning of salvation. For by Him, all things were created. By Him, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. This is Jesus. He didn't create us for us. He created us for Him. Everything. All the majesty of heaven, all the universe that we have, all the galaxies were made for, by Jesus and for Him. For God, for the display of His splendor. Because God wanted to do that. Praise God for that. And He created all things visible and invisible. You know, there are things visible we can see, but you know, God created a lot of things invisible. Right? Like bacteria. You know, there's a lot of bacteria in this room, but you can't see it. Viruses. You know, there are sound waves coming through this room. Can you see the sound waves? Just all over. If we had a little radio here and put up an antenna, we can get all kinds of music and talking here. You know, there are angels here. There are demonic forces. There are fallen angels. There are thrones and dominions. There are hierarchies of demonic beings in the world. And there are hierarchies of God's angels. There's a lot going on around us that we don't see. He created all things visible and invisible. Goes on to say here, and He is before all things. So He was Almighty God incarnate. In the beginning, God, so we find Jesus, was part of the Godhead. Remember when God created man, He said, let us make man in our image. The word Elohim is always the plurality, one in a plurality. And then it goes on to say, and I love this verse, and in Him, Jesus, all things hold together. Wow. He is the super glue that holds everything together. You ever feel like your life is falling apart? Going in too many different directions? You know how to bring your life back together? In Christ. Focus in Christ. You have a marriage that's falling apart? I've been a pastor for 37 years. I've counseled hundreds of couples. Hundreds of couples. In the worst marriage situations that you can even imagine. I don't think anything can surprise me anymore. But I'll tell you something. There is no marriage. If that husband and wife will get their eyes on Jesus and put Him as the center of their life, that marriage will not be healed 100%. Because in Him, all things hold together. Is your family splintering? Is your job, career splintering? Is the church splintering? You know why the church has problems? Because we have people. When you have people, you have problems. But pretty soon we get our eyes on people. Oh, I don't like that person. And this person, I don't like the way they treated my children. And I don't like the way this person looked at me. And this person offended me. And we get our eyes on one another. And pretty soon you have conflict, right? Conflict. You know the way a church comes together? To get our eyes back on Jesus. Take personal responsibility for our actions. Quit worrying about the other people. And just look to Him. In Him, all things hold together. That's how a church comes back to being in a unity of spirit, in Christ. He is everything to us. He is the head of the body, it says here in Colossians, just like Ephesians. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Praise God that we're going to be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ next month. That in everything He might be preeminent. That means supreme. First. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. So that is, He was God incarnate. God incarnate. There is no other religion or belief system in the world that believes that Jesus was God incarnate except Christians. That's it. That's who He was. The fullness of deity dwelled. Can we even begin to comprehend that? We're talking about God who created the universe. We don't even know how big the universe is. My son just told me that there was another planet discovered in our galaxy. Anybody hear that? Another planet, right? Beyond Pluto. Big planet out there. We're discovering things all the time. The God of all the universe came down to earth and filled a little baby. The fullness of deity dwelled in Jesus. Wow. Why? For us. So that He could make a people of His very own. Everything is for Him and for His glory. For in Him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. Oh, people today are seeking peace like I did before I was a Christian, in every way, other way possible. In the bottle, alcohol, in drugs, in relationships, in craziness. Trying to find some kind of peace. Maybe in the place, looking for the place where you want to live, where you can have some peace. People move to the mountains because they think they'll have peace up here. Oh, what a fallacy that is. Because you're bringing your problems with you because they are in you. There is no peace apart from Jesus Christ. When I gave my life to the Lord in 1974, the peace of God overwhelmed me. And I didn't know, it said in Romans chapter 5, 1, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. That's where the source of our peace is. So that's what we're talking about here in Colossians. It just reveals who Jesus is, who Jesus is. Go to one more passage with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, another passage that amplifies the Ephesians passage, talking about Christ, being in Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul is talking about the word of the cross that's foolishness to the world, but it's the wisdom of God. Christ is the power of God. And then he goes to verse 26. I love this passage of Scripture. This passage of Scripture is like a mirror for us. How many like to see yourselves in a mirror? Again, you're not going to raise your hand. You know what I've noticed? When you're young, you like full-length mirrors. When you get older, you just like little bitty mirrors. You don't like to look at the whole thing. But anyway, 1 Corinthians 1:26. For consider your calling, brothers. Consider, now see again, Ephesians 4 says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. Consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. Now notice he didn't say not any. He said not many. There are a few intellectual people. There are a few powerful people. There are a few wealthy people. But not many. Not many. Just look around us. Not many. But God chose. The power of God for salvation was not determined by our status in the world, by our wealth in the world, by our education, by our accomplishments. That's what this reveals. This is a picture, a reflection of who's in the church. This is us, right? God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. Well, so you got a lot of foolish people in the church. That's why you got a lot of problems in the church. We're not all wise. There are some. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That's the body of Christ. We're a bunch of foolish, weak, low, and despised people. That's why we get problems in the church. We're not the cream of the crop. God didn't choose the cream of the crop in the world. He didn't. We are not the brightest bulbs in the box. We're not the sharpest knives on the rack. We're the people who needed him desperately. You know, when Jesus came, he didn't come to the rabbis or the powerful people of his day. He wasn't born into an aristocratic kind of family. He came so humbly, and he worked with the marginalized people. He was a representation of who God was. That's Jesus. And that's who we are. That's who we are. We are absolutely dependent on him. Why does God do that? Verse 29. So that no human being may boast in the presence of God. Not one of us would be able to say, it was my education, it was my hard work that gave me wealth or made me successful or had me have all the friends that I do. That's not where it's at. It was only Jesus. Only Jesus changed my life, gave me the power to forgive, healed me of my bitterness, changed my life, healed my marriage. Only Jesus, and we fix our eyes upon him, and he gets all the credit. We can't boast in his presence. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus. The next verse. Because of God's plan for our lives, we are in Christ Jesus. There's that term again, in Christ. Who has become wisdom from God to us. Okay? Now, if you've been in our church long enough, you know the meaning of wisdom in the Greek. Wisdom, the word Sophia is wisdom. Means insight into the true nature of things. When we ask for wisdom, we're saying, God, what is really going on here? How can I handle the situation? Wisdom is insight into the true nature of things. So Christ is our wisdom. We understand what's going on in the nation today. We understand why things are happening the way they are. We understand what happens when you turn your back on God and His Word and reject Him. We understand demonic forces. We got insight into what's going on because of Christ, who has become wisdom to us and righteousness. We have right standing before God that we can't earn. And sanctification. We are being transformed. Our lives are being changed every day by God's power within us because we are in Christ. And we have redemption, the freedom from slavery. So that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. He gets all the credit and all the glory. Isn't that great? No church. We say around here all the time, we never want to say what a great church we have, although I believe we have a great church. And I tell you, I said this before, I would come to this church if I wasn't the pastor, because I love this church. I love what God's doing here. But we don't say what a great church we have. We say what a great God we serve, because He is the source of everything that is happening here. He gets all the credit, all the glory. And go back to Ephesians. We're going to close here this morning. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. From whom? From Jesus. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So as we understand the power we have in Christ, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We begin working properly, right? And everybody needs to be working properly. We need to keep moving. You know, in the physical body, what happens if you don't move? If you lay down for a month and don't move, what happens? Your muscles start to atrophy. You start to lock up. We got to keep moving, right? In Colorado, we do this. Colorado is a great state for moving and staying active. If it's true in Colorado, it's on steroids in Grand County, because we do a lot of things here. People are active up here. Ed Jackson, one of our elders, his wife, Sue, broke her ankle this year skiing. And she's in a brace. And when she came in, I said, Sue, how are you doing? She goes, you know what? She says, it is so great to live in a place where you're 75 years old, you break your ankle skiing, and no one thinks that's strange. You know, we're an active group up here. We're an active group. But the body of Christ needs to be active. If we rest, we rust. If we rest, we get stiff. We need to be active. We need to be involved in other people's lives and involved in the ministry and intentionally giving ourselves. And the last verse, Galatians 2:20, kind of brings it home for me. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. What Christ is saying here is that when I embrace Christ and He came into my life and caused me to be born again, I died at that point. My ambitions died. My plan for my life died. My habits died. How I viewed the world died. Everything died. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet it's not I, but Christ who lives in me. Let me show you something here. Kids, what is this? It's a glove. Good going there, right? This glove was made for a purpose, right? It's not a banjo. It's not a hammer. It was made for a specific purpose. But you know what? This glove cannot fulfill its purpose on its own. Gloves are made for work. I can put this glove here. How long do you think that glove will stand there if I put it there? Forever. Why? Why won't that glove do anything? It's made for a purpose. Life's not in it, right? It's dead, right? There's no life in it. Does it have any ability to respond to me? No. If I talk to it, glove, I want you to go pick up that paper. It's not going to it has no ability to respond to me, even though it was created for a purpose. You see, Ephesians chapter 2 says, we are dead in our trespasses. We follow the course of this world. We follow the prince of the power of the air. But we do not follow Christ. We are dead to God, just like this glove is dead. Cannot fulfill its purpose. So what does God do? He comes to us in Christ, and he puts his life in us. You know what happens to that glove now? That glove is alive, right? This glove will do whatever the head tells it to do because it has life in it right now, right? It's got life. It has no life in itself. The life is what's inside of it. I am inside. This is what it means when it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And now God can fulfill his purpose through my life. I can reach out and greet people. I can comfort people. I can point people to him. I can worship him. God will use my life the way he wants because it's his life within me. That's what Christianity is. I was dead and he made me alive. Now, if I want to pick up that paper, I don't have to say glove, go pick up that paper. I want to pick it up, I do it through the glove. Okay? That's what I work with. This is how God works with us. Every part, when it's working properly, accomplishes what God wants us to accomplish. Remember the glove. It's the life within this glove that gives it life. Gives it character. Gives it fulfillment. So it is with us. It's the life of Christ within us. That's why it says, in closing here, in Colossians chapter 3, it says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above and not on the things on earth. For you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, see that verse? When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Isn't it great to have his life within us? Our biggest job is getting out of his way and let him live his life through us. Use me any way you want, Lord. You've designed me for a purpose. Let your will be done in my life because I'm yours. Let's bow for prayer. Thank you, Jesus. As our team comes up, let's just think about God's word right now. Let his word sink into our hearts and spirits. Find good soil. Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for the Word of God and the revelation of who you are. Thank you for your life within us, Lord. There's nothing we can do on our own. As Paul said, there's no good thing that dwells in our flesh. If there's anything good, it's you. Forgive us, O God, if we've ever lost our first love, that excitement of knowing you. And if you're here today, and you'd have to say, you know what, I think I've lost my first love. Now's a good chance. Now's a good opportunity to say, Lord, forgive me for that. I'm coming back. I'm coming back to you. I want you to be the center of my life. Is your marriage in strife? Jesus holds all things together. But Jesus is the center of your life. Call upon him. He will answer. Is your job struggling? Maybe some of you who go to different churches, is your church struggling? Christ has to be the center. He will not share his glory with anyone else. Oh God, we thank you for this. Thank you for living your life through us. There are people throughout this week that you want us to meet, people that you want us to talk to. Lord, let your will be done. Guide us to wherever you want us to go and use us to the full degree of your plan and your purpose for our lives. Thank you for our children. Thank you, Lord, that they can grow up knowing you and understanding the truth of the Word of God. May they lean towards the things of God and not toward the things of this world. May they be babes with regard to evil and wise to good. Lord, we thank you for this. What an opportunity we have as your people to glorify your name. And if there's anyone in this room or listening to this message by some other means, and maybe for the first time you're beginning to understand the difference in Christianity and religion, if there's a desire in you to have Christ living within you, to know what it means to be a Christian, to be saved and forgiven. We want to talk to you about that after the service. If you're in this room, don't leave. Come and talk to one of us. Or talk with someone that you came with to understand what it means to truly be a Christ follower, a born-again Christian. Thank you for this, Lord. We give you praise today. And Lord, receive this last song now as we lift it up to you in honor of all that you've done in us. In Jesus' name, amen.